Got you.
Okay, item number two is the monthly summary of commission activities.
Which would be you, Mr. Faruqi, Commissioner?
What was that about?
So for our new commissioners, you're going to get really two agendas. The first agenda is the official agenda that is from the county. And then we have the second page there, which is, says page three, comes really from the internal office that says who is assigned to present each of these items and has a name listed by it, usually my name. But and there's literally very little preparation you need to do except sort of point to the pages where these things taking place. And this particular one, the overview of monthly summary of commission activities, really refers mostly to what staff has done, but also to what commissioners may have done in their role as commissioners. So
I will share the one that I attended.
Please. Sorry. I'm sorry. There it is. Yeah, good morning. Basically, I didn't even notice that. I just went by looking at it. I was, along with our Commissioner Chairman Rick, I was at the Orange County Sheriff's Advisory Council event that was on Tuesday, this past Tuesday right here, 2 days ago. So I attended that very well, attended by different faith leaders across Orange County. And the sheriff, Don Barnes, kind of wanted more engagement between the faith communities and law enforcement and how we can bring about better understanding and tolerance towards hate and things of that nature to engage with other cities and law agencies as well. So that's one. The other item that, I think I probably, that was last month, or was it like time is running by so quickly? I was at the Buena Park event, I think that I covered last time. And there was one for Karen Silva, which I had gone to as well. So that's for my own appearances at these events.
Thank you. Just a little history of the Sheriff's Interfaith Council. It began really more than 3 years ago as a response to the events in Ferguson, Missouri. And Rusty Kennedy and Allie at that time, along with Pastor Whitlock, who also spoke at the event on Tuesday night, and Sheriff Sandra Hutchins, said, let's come together and do something before there's a crisis. And it resulted in what we called the Solidarity March or Unity March, I can't remember.
Solidarity March.
And more than 1,000 people came to the city of Irvine and marched. There were great speakers. We really had an impressive event, and it really led to this interfaith council. And we meet every other month. We were getting about 30 or 40 people to a meeting in which several things would happen. The first half hour, each time it was hosted by a different faith leader, the first half hour was to learn about that faith. The second half hour was the sheriff sort of sharing her and now his insights about what's going on in the world. And then the last hour, we pick an issue to address. Oftentimes, it has to deal with business directly related to the commission's work, that is hate crime, police community relations, conflict resolution. But we have done programs on the opioid crisis, on immigration, on LGBTQ rights, all sorts of different things, because they're all relevant to everything law enforcement's doing and everything that we're doing. And so this event Tuesday night was an opportunity for the sheriff to be introduced as the sheriff, but although he's very involved as the undersheriff. And in addition to that, to expand the circle. And I think we had over 100 people in attendance, 100 faith leaders. I mean, think about when faith leaders gather in those kind of numbers in any community. It's always when there's a crisis. And so this is really a great opportunity for continued positive dialogue, and then God forbid when there is a crisis, the sheriff will have to make one phone call, and he'll have 100 faith leaders there to help solve whatever issues might come our way. And that is a direct result of the Orange County Human Relations Commission's efforts over the last 3 years in creating this dynamic community to help with police community relations, and I would also say hate crime, and I also would say conflict resolution. So really important success I think we've had, and the sheriff is now really pushing us to take it to the next level. So, yeah, good, please.
I'd just like to add a couple of more events which I just thought of. One was with our own Orange County Human Relations Council that had a VIP event at the Siegerstrom, the Center Club, where they had the invitees or honorees that are going to be for this year's gala that is coming up. And so that was well attended, and I was there myself. And then also this past week, the Anaheim Police Chief, they had their event, and so was our chairman, Rick Steinberg, was also there, Rabbi. So that was also a very well-attended event and represented by the commissioners.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Beckley, did you want to add anything to the event on Tuesday night? Because I know you were there as well. And thank you both for your presence. And, you know, again, open invitation to any commission event for any commissioner to attend.
this was my first participation in this kind of meeting, but it was so nice to see different religion, different faiths coming for one agenda to bring civility in the community, especially in Orange County, where we have support from the law enforcement, which they invited us into their facility to facilitate this meeting. It's so wonderful to see every nation, I would say that. I don't want to say a particular group of people. It's people from every corner and from any, most of the religion and faith came together, discuss how we can support each other to ease the hate crime, hate incidents. So that's something I was so impressed that we come together as a human being to resolve our issues, and I was pleased to be there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else?
I just wanted to ask if, are they actually thinking about strategies that they then come back and report the results of as part of these meetings? Or is it more discussion of what's happened in the past just to update everyone?
Neither yes and both. it is the bigger meetings are an opportunity to share what's happened in the past and also think about the future. The hope is that the collaboration happens one-on-one between the people who meet each other, the different faith groups. And then there's a smaller group, the executive board of the Sheriff's Interfaith Council, in which we plan the agenda, but then more than half of those meetings are really spent, it sounds pejorative the way I say it, but you'll understand, speaking truth to power. In other words, talking about issues the sheriff really needs to know about, but everybody's afraid to talk to him about it. And we have done that in the bigger meetings, too, but, you know, you know the 7 people sitting around the table. You don't know the 100 people sitting around the table. So Tuesday night, the sheriff was asked about an incident that happened in Newport Beach. So he tried to answer it, and then he said, well, you know, I don't really comment on other jurisdictions' cases. And so he said, did I answer your question to the guy? And the guy said, not even close, sheriff, not even close. And the sheriff has been in enough public settings where he can take that kind of thing. But then it makes it hard to have the stronger dialogue about real issues. I mean, so, for example, we did do a huge program at the sheriff's tactical center. I can't remember exactly in Anaheim, I think. I can't remember exactly where it is, where we talked about implicit bias. Mm-hmm. It was a really interesting conversation. I don't know. I think you were there, I think. I'm pretty sure, and we got to train, we got to do the simulated shooting, everything. And so one of the sergeants just doing his job, right out of Central Casting, said, "My job is to go home alive." He said that, and absolutely that's his job. But his implication was that perhaps everything else is secondary to that. And so that became a real issue for a lot of the people who were there at this program, because they are the recipients of implicit bias a lot, and they want to go home alive too. So that issue came up at the next big meeting, and the Sheriff Hutchins at that time really addressed that pretty well head on. So that's an example. Yeah. Jamie.
Okay, next is open forum, and I do not have any requests.
Anybody like to say a few words? Well, Nez, I'd like to call upon you just to tell us, because there's some commissioners who weren't at the last couple of meetings, to tell us the project you're working on and its implications for us of bylaws. So if you would be so kind, introduce yourself, tell us your job, your role, and why you love coming to the commission meetings.
Good morning, all commissioners. Thank you so much, Chair, for giving the opportunity. My name is Golnaz Zandie. I'm Deputy County Counsel, mainly representing Orange County Community Resources, and I'll try to be also supportive of all the commissions and committees that is somewhat related or connected to Orange County Community Resources. When I got the reassignment in around December of 2018, I was also tasked with kind of updating all the commissions and committees that are created by the Orange County Board of Supervisors, our board bylaws, which was started with the my predecessor. So right now where we are is that...
How many commissions and committees are there?
I believe there are about 84 or 85, some of which are created by statute, some of which are created by federal or state statute, but some of which are created by resolutions within within Orange County and Board of Supervisors. Right now, where the project is at is we identified the board commissions and committees that are under the purview of Orange County Board of Supervisors. We have reported back to Supervisor Doe at this time, and we are waiting for response from Supervisor Doe. And with respect to our this commission's bylaws, we have been working on with the ad hoc committee, so I'm not sure about the status of where that will go on and finalize. But I think the commission would be able to follow up and go forward with the bylaws. And if there are changes made at the county level, we will incorporate that at the next round.
Mm-hmm. And just so I'm clear, the idea is to have as much streamlining as possible between all the committees and commissions in terms of bylaws. And that will happen sometime in late spring, early summer.
So I'm not sure about the timeline. I think that originally was the idea, but I'm not sure about the timeline right now. The idea was to make sure that we had some unity with respect to the bylaws. It's just it makes it easier to work with different commissions, because different committees and commissions right now have vast differences in their bylaws, and some of which County Board of Supervisors direction would be to actually try to make it as uniform as possible so that we don't have differences in our commissions to the extent that the federal and state law allows us to do so.
Excellent. Any questions? Okay, thank you so much. Sure. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, item number three is discussion and approval of events to be submitted to county events calendar for Board of Supervisors approval.
So just to be repetitive, please feel free to propose events and items and happenings that the Human Relations Commission might want to sponsor. And we would invite you to come and present it, and then we would take a vote on it. And then when we vote on it, then it goes to the OCCR, and they submit it to the Board of Supervisors for final approval so that it can have the county seal on it. And so the more we can do that, the further in advance we can do that, always the better. We can always sneak some things in, but the ideal really is to once a year come up with the events in the coming year. And as I've said before, this is an opportunity for you to tap your resources. There's a multicultural event in the city of Irvine or in Buena Park or wherever it might be. That might be a perfect thing for us to do. We may have a booth there. We may show up. That's almost irrelevant. But if it's something that really forwards our work, then perhaps we want to be a sponsor of that. And that will really only come from the commissioners here and other places that might solicit us. But we might do well to solicit as well to get our name out there. So is there anything? Yes, Fareed.
Yeah. So are we putting a timeline for ourselves? Would that be by the next meeting we have to have it submitted? Or
Renee, what is the? Can you walk us through again one more time how we should be doing this?
So the county has a master events calendar that has to be put together. Each of the departments also includes events on the calendar. So the calendar includes anything with that include a financial sponsorship and a non-financial. So use of the county seal would be considered a sponsorship, non-financial. Anything that the council would like or the commission would like to see included on that, such as the Silk Festival, would be brought to this commission for approval. So we'd like to have one master list to take and include in OCCR's master submittal to the Board of Supervisors. It usually goes to the Board of Supervisors in mid-June, and it takes effect in July. And like the chairman just said, we do have three other bites at the apple. We have quarterly opportunities, but there is a chance that if we don't put it on the July calendar and say the event is in October and we don't know until September, there's a chance that those, you know, that period of time we won't have another bite at the apple because there's not a quarterly opportunity. So if we know about the events in advance, I am suggesting that all of the events be placed on the June submittal.
Great. And so Allie and Joyce, are there events you think that we should be connecting with and collaborating with that we need to get approved for next month or the month after? Thank you very much.
So we would likely have, and I don't have an exact date, but at the next meeting, if you want to postpone the vote at the April meeting, we'll have to ensure that we have something because as the ASRs are, our agenda items are developed, we have to submit our documentation well in advance. Though the meeting may not happen until mid-June, our documentation goes in late April or early May.
Commissioner.
Renee, thank you for that. Just another follow-up question.
Sure.
What do you want the commissioners to bring some literature information or anything on this, or do you want the representatives of those organizations to be present or send in?
No, I think what we're asking is that each of you come to the table the next meeting with a list of your events that you would like the commission to support.
Yeah.
And then there will be a final vote on which will be presented to OCCR for the next step.
Appreciate that. I do have some that I've already listed. I don't know if you want me to rattle that off right now.
So I don't know if you want to do it today.
Yeah, let's have a discussion about it. If we need more information, we'll request it.
Okay. The first one, obvious, is the Silk Road Unity Festival, which was approved, and we appreciate the County Board of Supervisors to have done that. And so that'll be on again for the next year, 2020. This one is happening March 31st. You all are welcome to come and attend. It's a free event at the Brookhurst Community Center. From noon to 4 p.m. That said, the other one that I was going to put out there was the Open Mosque Day, and this is open to all public, all interfaith, and any neighbors across L.A., Orange County, the Valley, and the whole nine yards, all over Southern California. It happens in October each year. It's a two-day, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing, so the mosques and centers are open all the time, but this is just one day to kind of make it a national kind of a thing. There's what is called the House of Worship Tours, and these are scheduled every two months. OCI and Orange County Interfaith Network has many, but this is just one of its main programs as well, promoting interfaith dialogue. And if one has not been to a temple or a church or synagogue, from either of the faiths, they get a chance to go to a gurdwara and things of that nature and get to know the people, break bread, whatever that may be, or just have conversations. So that's the House of Tours, and there's a list. I can have that sent or I facilitate that. Since I live in Buena Park, the Greek Orthodox Church has been doing an amazing Greek festival every year, and that happens in May. So I just want to put that out as well. And there are a few others I could probably bring that to the commission.
So thank you. That's great. That's exactly what I think we're looking for. I think if there's a flyer or just something to a piece of paper to look at before we take a vote, that's probably a good idea to not do it just totally blind. And if we bought another month, then that's good. But that really, it's exactly the kind of thing. If everybody comes with five events, our name just gets out there in a way that's meaningful. I don't think it requires a ton of staff work unless we're required to be there and whatnot. So please tap your resources.
So we'll send out the template because there is some information we need. It doesn't have to have an exact date, but a month and just a little bit of info.
That's super helpful.
We don't necessarily need a flyer, but it would be helpful to have the information that will be submitted forward.
Yeah.
So we'll get the template out.
Perfect. That's great. That'll be a good reminder for us as well. Excellent. Thank you. Good, Jamie.
Okay. Item number 4 was deleted. So item number 5 is anti-Semitic hate incident.
I want to talk about item number 4 first and then item number 5. Just about mental health in general, just my own opinion, and I open up to everybody here, that everything we do in this county from a governmental perspective has to do with mental health. Whether it's the emergency room, whether it is homelessness, whether it is teen suicide, which, sadly there was another teen suicide, an adolescent suicide in Aliso Viejo this past week. I mean, really horrific things happening. And so mental health is a really big issue. I know the chief will reschedule Officer Lindsay to come and talk about what she does. I just want to put on the radar for everybody, because this is a new thing I'm involved in. It's called Be Well OC. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Be Well OC began with the merger of Providence and St. Joe, and they put a pot of money together to say we want to use this for mental health in Orange County. And the ball has been really moving, and the whole object is to bring all the players of mental health in our county into one sort of organization so that the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. I mean, in mental health, we have problems with access. We have problems with financing. We have problems with getting people to the right places. And so this is really an effort to bring our whole county together under this umbrella called Be Well OC. And tangentially, it's going to affect what we do at the commission, to be sure. So I just tee that up for everybody. You're going to see a lot more headlines about it. For example, the first big project is to build a wellness center on Anita in Orange. The Board of Supervisors approved, if I'm not mistaken, $16 million towards that project. Kaiser's given $4 million. Hogue is given $4 million. St. Joe, I think, is the other $4 million. Mental Health Services Act of the state of California is giving some innovation dollars. So they're building this place where it's going to be a center for wellness, mental health wellness. So it'll be a crisis center. It'll have some inpatient beds. It will have group work. It'll have medication dispensaries. It's going to have all sorts of things. So it's really going to affect everything that happens in Orange County. Okay, now we can go to item number 5. Please.
May I ask a question?
Please.
Chairman Steinberg, about the homelessness, is that part of the mental health you were going to talk about?
It, I wasn't going to, Officer Lindsay was going to talk about it, but certainly BYOC would not be doing its job if it doesn't address the overwhelming nature of mental health issues in the homelessness population. So many of those people are not just chronically homeless, they're chronically mentally ill. So, you know, permanent housing is a full service approach idea to that. And I think the Board of Supervisors last year approved a plan in, I want to say Fullerton, but I can't remember, to have many more beds, but not just beds, places where they could get services and so forth. And I'm sure Be Well is going to address that as well. Yes. Yes, sir.
About a year ago when I was reviewing some of the awards from the community services, one of the police chief, or not police, an officer was stating what he have seen in a homeless environment. Some of these people are mentally ill, most of them, including doctors, engineers, psychiatrists. When I see that, it is not only a drug issue, it's not only economic issue, it's mental issue. So what they have started about this mental issue institute is going to help a lot, because it is not because of someone is poor that he's homeless. It's not because he's not educated, but because of mental problem that they become homeless. They have families, they have children, but because of their illness, they were not able to continue to move life the way they want to. But this mental issue, you know, we can discuss a lot, but it is huge. It's not because only financial or economy issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fareed, you wanted to say?
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner. I just wanted to add, I didn't know, and this is good to know about Be Well Orange County. There is an organization in Anaheim. It's called Access California, and they are for wraparound full services to immigrants, refugees, and others locally, including the homeless community. And they do have a department or a complete service for mental health.
I think Access is part of BYOC. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, and the reason I also bring that up is this coming April 27th, or I don't remember the date, they have a conference that they are setting, they are hosting with all different partners. That's I don't know if Be Well is part of it or not, or if they have invited them. But it's a host of professionals in the discipline talking about the issue and how to deal with it. So I just want to.
Great. Thank you for that information. Anybody else? Any other? Did you have a question?
No, I just want to say I'm also on the United Ways board and homelessness, and they're asking us to help them with the wraparound services, being from the health profession. So I'd be interested in getting to know all these resources.
Absolutely. And Commissioner, that is sort of the idea of BYOC, is to put everybody in the same room, you know, and well, there's certainly competition in the health services world. Seems to me the barriers are being broken down in terms of mental health services. People are really seeing we have to come together because this is such a pervasive issue. So thank you, and I'm happy to connect you too. Great. Okay, item number 5. Ali, if you'll come to the dais as well, because I would like your input. I hope all of you are aware of the incident that took place 2 Saturdays ago at a party at of high school students from many different high schools, but many of them from Newport Harbor High, in which at the party they, I guess, were drinking beer, which is a whole other issue that hasn't even been discussed, but they took their beer cups and put it in the shape of a swastika, as if that wasn't bad enough. Made the Heil Hitler sign and then had some choice comments as they were posting it on social media. More horrific it could not be. I think the thing that is the most disturbing is that this just happened to go viral, but that it is all too common. And I can tell you, in my unique position as also being a rabbi, that every day since then, so what are we on Thursday, so that has to be 12 days, I have received at least one phone call. At least one phone call from parents who are telling me about another anti-Semitic incident with their children. So, I mean, I could talk for a half an hour about this. I want Ali to go into more specifics just about how OC Human Relations responded. But I just want to say one thing, because I believe I'm the only Jewish person on this dais here. And as commissioners and as good human beings, nothing is more powerful than if non-Jewish people stand up against Jewish hate. And I invite your participation in that. And by the same token, and then I'll conclude with this, on Monday night a week ago, Ali and I and Joyce went to Newport Harbor High for this big rally they had, or a program they had, and it was really powerful and meaningful. And one of the students stood up and said, this is not just an anti-Jewish thing. Don't forget that swastika also is representative of the death of hundreds of thousands of homosexuals during the Holocaust, of hundreds of thousands of disabled people, of hundreds of thousands of gay people, of hundreds of thousands of gypsies, of people who were minorities. And each of us who sits at this table, whether it's from Vietnam or from Korea or from Mexico or from wherever, all have these stories of being the other, of being the person who's persecuted. And so, for some reason that maybe I'll never in my lifetime understand why anti-Semitism is such a core issue, but it's really symbolic and representative of many other antis. And our job on this table is to fight against that, to report it, and to expose it. So what I've told all of these parents is, even though this is commonplace, even though your student doesn't want to really deal with it, you have to report every single one of these. And you can do it anonymously on the OC Human Relations page, the ADL page, and 1,000 other places. And the numbers will be counted. For if we don't count it, then it goes unnoticed. So that's my opening soliloquy. I apologize. Ali, walk us through sort of how OC Human Relations responded, what we're doing, what we can do, so forth and so on.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So when things like this happen in our cities and communities, the staff has a role to at least offer support. And, of course, it's at least put it out as an option. So we were made aware of these photos and postings Sunday morning. That same day, we reached out to the school and the school district. We were able to talk with the principal at Newport Harbor the next day and attended forums. Rick didn't mention that in addition to attending, he represented our work. He sat on the stage and kind of had the opportunity to do this, but it was good to know that we had a presence in the room. And so he was introduced, and staff, we were just in the audience, but we were introduced as well. So just kind of making folks aware that there are resources to support in the community. Of course, this happened on a weekend when Peter Levy of the ADL was out of town. So he was connected to this, but in terms of kind of that civil rights or like that type of role, you know, it's really nice that we have multiple agencies that can be there, because Peter was just not available. So appreciate that you took the time to join us there. Over the course of the week, we went to multiple forums. There was another one at Corona Del Mar High School, which was equally as meaningful. And I have to say, there was one young woman that said, you know, I'd like to share my experiences here at Corona Del Mar High School. And I think she rattled off 10 incidents, I mean, off the top of her head, around anti-Semitism. And they include, from the collective stories of both forums, things like, oh, I have swastikas carved into the desk I sit at. I see it in graffiti in the restrooms. I had to sit through someone jokingly seeing if he could join the KKK over the internet at lunch one day and thought it was funny. Even like I loaned my copy of Night to someone and it came back with swastikas in it. I mean, just you know, upsetting stories to hear, and the way in which they are conveyed from young people really echoed what Chairman Steinberg said, is they're not sharing shock and awe. They're sharing their everyday experience. So in any case, the benefit that we have of having both the public commission and the private nonprofit is that the commission and its support from the county allows us to go out, be present, do immediate triage, if you will, help resolve conflict, help advise. You know, we quickly sent out, here's a list of resources in your community, and here's the things that we can help with. So we kind of advise them for that first week, and then after that short-term response, what we foresee coming in the future is that the school district would like long-term help with setting up a human relations task force for the whole district. And at that point, we'll probably switch the staffing model so that the nonprofit, which has more capacity, will take on that work. And it'll probably be a process by which the community engages in kind of studying the issues, and they're going to be charged with bringing back kind of a plan for safe and respectful schools to the school board for the school board to adopt.
Thank you, Allie. Two questions. One with an intro. The first one is, and I'd like the minutes to reflect, the administration at Newport Harbor High responded really well, at least in those initial days from what I could see and tell. But I think we do a disservice to abdicate our moral responsibility as parents to our teachers and our administrators and everybody else except of us taking it on ourselves. And to that end, the nonprofit has the Bridges program. So I don't know if everybody on the dais is familiar with that. Could you walk us through that and what that does? And is that an appropriate response when schools don't have the capacity, willingness, funding, or whatever to respond from their perspective? They often will call us in. And what Bridges is and how that happens.
Sure. So the program started in the late 80s after a campus incident where student leadership performed in front of their student body in blackface. And some of their peers were really offended by, of course, you know, this use of a historic racist image. And we were called in at the time to help bring the community back together and educate the young people who performed in blackface about its historical significance. And many of them just were unaware of how blackface had been used to oppress and degrade the black community in our country. So that went so well. We designed retreats, day-long retreats, where the students were educated, built community, found a way to move forward together, that we found we were getting called to go to multiple places, and so decided that a program should exist that's more proactive. And that was one of the first things that when the nonprofit was formed, it put out into the world. So Bridges typically brings together students and adults on campus, parents, to think about what are the school climate issues that are most important on that campus. So that could be the key areas for us are safety, so things like bullying, respect for diversity, and then a sense of connection on campus. So, you know, we want students to feel like they have a place to connect on campus and combat things like isolation. So we work with those schools year in, year out to kind of help them move forward those programs or changes that they'd like to see on campus. So those might range from an awareness campaign around something like bullying up to asking for changes on campus that are more permanent in nature, like policy changes. So,
and the school pays the nonprofit to do
that. Yeah, they pay a portion of the cost.
Uh-huh. And then how many students do we reach in a typical year and how many schools?
Well, I think we're in, and I want to say 15 schools right now, but it varies. So you might do a school-wide campaign, and you can reasonably say you've probably reached 80% of the campus with awareness raising and education. But you might have 20 or 30 students that are the core leadership that are the ones that really drive the program.
My last question, then I'll open it up because maybe you have questions for Allie, is and I don't mean to brainstorm in public, but it's always dangerous
to do. For the record.
But given that the commission staff is really only three people, one for the last many months, and we borrow you sometimes, would there be a role in these incidents to assign a commissioner to particularly the major incidences? You're going to be a point person and just being our representative, showing up, coming, helping us think through a way to engage commissioners more. I mean, you don't really even have to answer that. I'm just throwing that out there for this dais and for you. But something for us to think about that really involves the commissioners in the work itself, as sure. opposed to just hearing about it and then dialoguing about it. So I'll allow you to respond, but you don't have to.
Brainstorming as well. I would say there's great potential for issues that one of you as an individual feels connected or informed on that issue. So in this case, it was a great service to have you join us. Other commissioners might say, I feel, you know, in over my head to address X, Y, or Z issue. So I think it's probably gauging the issue and the comfort level. I would welcome it, but I also wouldn't want to compel someone, you know, like, oh, you came up on the rotation, come talk about immigration. You know, like, that probably wouldn't be prudent, but I certainly, the idea that we had presence at that, and I think it helps extend the commitment of the county in those occasions.
Very much. Commissioner.
First of all, I would like to really thank the staff, because within such a short staff, this staff have done so much. I've been with this commission the last 4 or 5 years. I've seen so many reports, so many activities. if possible in the future, if any incidents happen like this, if you send out information, whoever can come and participate, that would be nice. Otherwise, in the future, maybe in a zone or region that you can assign us so that we can support and provide some assistance whenever is needed. This is what we did when we had the homeless issue a long time ago. I participated on Evie Free Christian Church and Eastside Christian Church in Anaheim. And thank you, Renee, is connecting me to the human, the homeless group. So I'm interested in such things to participate and support you. You don't have to require us. Just send us. If we can, we can make it. Mm-hmm. If we are interested, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
So I'll be talking a little more about hate incidents or hate crime, because I prepared some notes.
Good. Any
I should note that in the process, we did update the supervisor. This was happening in the 2nd District, and just did update the supervisor to say this is happening in your district, and here's how we're responding. So I would think in the future, we could maybe think about kind of a coordination amongst, you know, because I think we should make sure we're not bypassing the supervisors on any of this either. So make sure that everyone's in the loop.
Excellent. Commissioner Faruqi.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ali, thank you for that update. Just wanted to, you know, when these conversations are happening with the school, you have the principal and the faculty, what have you, and the student parents, where the students that were involved in this also being talked to, or is there a process that continues on? Because the underlying issues are always there, and it pops up, right?
Sure. In this case, those students were engaged in a couple of ways in the first week. The first one, I don't have as much information about, because it was a private event. One of the parents of one of those students invited all those students involved to their home, and they welcomed a Holocaust survivor to speak to those students privately. According to the newspaper, which is the only source I have on that, I think 9 of those 20-plus participated in that. A couple days later, just by coincidence, Chapman was hosting Ava Schloss, who was a Holocaust survivor and is the stepsister of Anne Frank, to speak at they have a week of activities dedicated to Holocaust remembrance. So she does not live in this country, and she happened to be in town. And those students had a private audience with her. That for that one, I don't have information on whether or not they all participated. I'm not sure that they could be mandated to participate, but I know that they did that well, let me take a step back. They did that at Newport Harbor. I didn't get a breakdown if students from other schools were involved, but that was kind of big in the paper. So those were the first two things. And then there was disciplinary action taken, but the district is not allowed to disclose what those actions were. So we just know that something has happened. I'm sure every kid at those schools knows exactly what happened, but the public is not privy to that
information. There's a third response and that I haven't made public, but I'm happy to do so here. And that is, I was in touch with three of the students and their families of the people who were at that party. And it just so happened, because the calendar worked out, that on that particular Friday, March 8th, I was having 40 Jewish teenagers at my house for Sabbath dinner. So after meeting with these three students and their families, I invited them to join with my students at my home for dinner. And these three particular students were exceedingly remorseful, ashamed. And I sort of began the evening by asking all the students, how many of you have ever done something really stupid? They all raised their hand. I said, how many of you have ever done something really stupid and it went viral, right? So that's, doing something really stupid isn't an excuse for doing it. And two of these people, I think, really did not totally understand the gravity of those symbols, but all three of them, after understanding the gravity of those symbols, were just mortified at their own behavior and whatnot. And that's why I only share that because it's this education piece that is so, so critical, that to understand that these symbols cause deep pain and hurt, from blackface, which is still happening today in the news, to the swastikas, to, you know, whatever it is, the symbol that is offensive to you, why would we choose to do that if it brings pain to people? Not to mention the fear it stokes in people. And that is a real problem. I mean, I was probably at five meetings last week because of the fear that the Jewish community had because of the idiotic actions and hateful actions of 20 teenagers. I mean, it's the world's changing very quickly, so thank you. The other questions, were there any other questions, comments? Yes,
I just wanted to know what is the age and the school levels that you might deal with bullying. Are you in the college scene as well?
We typically work in middle and high school if it's programming, and if it's response, wherever we're needed. But we don't have comprehensive college programs, usually because the colleges have centers dedicated to, you know, cross-cultural work. And they're frankly often more sophisticated than what we can pull together. But we have partnered with groups before, and actually we partner this year with UCI because they started a new program with high school students on racial healing. So sometimes we're like a consulting partner, but not full program.
Excellent. Becca, you had some thoughts you wanted to share. Thank you very much, Ali.
This morning, I received a report This morning, I received a report from Joyce about the hate crime statistics throughout the country. And then I went and then looked for this one, which I have collected about 2 or 3 years ago from ADL. And then you can pass it on. Hate crime continued to increase in our nation here. Hate crime is not different. It is coming in different way, different situation, different actions. Yes, as a human relations, we can do some, not much. But so far we have done enough. In our capacity, I would say the staff. There must be some more education at school and family, adults, children need to learn that we all are human beings. Different color, different origin, but when I went through that, I found out this. Do you know there are 53 symbols, hate, racist symbols, identified neo-Nazi, 7 different kinds of symbols. General racist symbol, 12 different kinds of symbols. Group racist symbols, there are 13. Gang racist symbol, 11. Prison gang, that's what I'm saying. Prison gang symbols, there are 11. Others, 10. 53 different symbols represent different racist groups. It's more than this. Sometimes we needed to realize and try to identify what it looks like, what it stands for. It has meaning. All these symbols have different meanings. To attack or to be hateful under this umbrella. There are a lot of things to be done to be, you know, this nation needs to wake up because it's not getting better. I can tell you a lot about myself, what I went through, but it doesn't matter. I'm strong. I'm created in His image. That's what I believe. But we need to understand we have the same physical status, the color maybe, language, culture. Those are different things. But we breathe the same air. I don't know how we can tackle this kind of hateful ideologies, how we can stop it. But we have to try. We have to try to inform the community wherever we go, whether it is in church, in the mosque, in community centers, in school, in every association. This has to be educated or learned through adults, people who have open mind. Hate is taught by someone, somehow. So we have a responsibility. We are limited, our resources are limited, but with such a small group, we have to come up how we can reach out to educate our community. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Becca. Any other comments on anti-Semitic hate or any other kind of hate? Okay.
Okay, item number 6 is Commission Staff Report, update on PCRP staff, collaboration with Bigs with Badges and Business Cards.
The new commission staff person is starting Monday. Her name is Maureen Databoy, and she has worked in Orange County and the area of civil rights for some time. She is actually a partner of ours in terms of reporting hate crime or relaying hate crime reports to us. So we, we've known her for some time, so we're very excited to welcome her on Monday. So she'll be at the next meeting, and Norma should be at the next meeting. She should be back from maternity leave in about 2 weeks. So hopefully she's ready. We also wanted to share that you may not know, but our office is actually, we're tenants of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Orange County. We share a building. And as we started to talk about just being neighbors, they shared with us that they were expanding their Big Brothers Big Sisters program to police departments so that officers become bigs, as they call them, bigs, and then they have littles in their community. And given that, as Chairman Steinberg described in light of the sheriff's interfaith work, given the state of police-community relations over the last 5 years, we thought what would be really interesting is to combine our work here at the commission with this new initiative. And wouldn't it be great if we could help this cohort of bigs and littles get some of their burning questions out of the way as they try to build a relationship. So Joyce led the first initiative with Cypress PD, and we brought together, we do a session with the littles where they kind of talk about things that they are kind of, you know, I want to ask this, but I would be too shy to ask, or does this really happen? Or these are concerns I have, you know, am I going to feel comfortable, feel safe? are they going to have their guns with them? And then they do another piece that's like, what might the officers think about the youth? And so they kind of work through these challenging discussions just within themselves. We do a similar process with the officers, and then a third where they come together and they get to share back and forth, and they get to dispel myths or give information or share their perspective of what it is like to be maybe a young person in their city or their neighborhood and what they want the officers to know about their experience. So we combined those two initiatives, and I wasn't in the room, but I would say it went very well, and that we hope to partner with them and roll this out in additional, as they roll it out in additional departments, continue to support them in that role.
Absolutely. In that spirit, given that one of our major mandates is police community relations, if you have not been on a ride along with a police officer, I think it's not mandated in our bylaws yet, but it ought to be. It really gives you an insight different than you might have otherwise. How many have been on a ride-along? Anybody? One person? One, two? Okay. It is really, really worth doing, and I would recommend doing it in your home city. And if you need help facilitating that, I'm happy to help. It's really easy to do, though, just let me know. Particularly in the sheriff's districts, we can make that happen. City of Irvine, I can make that happen, and others as well. So please let us know. I think it's really worth the education of being a commissioner. Great. Anything else, Allie?
I'm actually going to ask Joyce to address the business cards.
At our last meeting, Renee gave me some, I know some of you had questions on whether or not you could print your own cards. We still don't have a clear answer for that, but in the meanwhile, we have some cards, and in the back, you can fill it with your information if you're in really need of it. So I have them here, and if you need them, please, I will provide them for you.
Joyce, don't go anywhere. You are the best business card for the Orange County Human Relations Commission, and on behalf of the whole commission, I want to thank you for all your hard work these many months, driving solo, doing three jobs at once, and responding to all of our requests in such a timely manner, working with Renee and Allie and everybody. You really have represented us so very well, and we could not be more grateful, more proud, and more thankful. So thank you so very much.
No, thank you. And I want to say I couldn't do this alone. I'm, so blessed to have Rabbi as my chair and a representative of the commission. Also, the collaboration with the council, and just having Ali by my side was, tremendously. Renee always helping me with Renee and Jamie with the agendas. It can't be one, so I have to give you all credit.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay, item number 7, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriffs.
I think we've already done that. As soon as we get the dates, though, for the upcoming meetings for the Advisory Council, we'll send that to everybody. So you're always, always invited to that as a commissioner.
Okay. Item number 8 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
That's what I meant.
Oh.
To send you the dates for that, not the chief and sheriff, so I got confused. I'm not a chief nor a sheriff. I don't play one on television either, so, although I did when I was 7. So. Number 9.
Okay, then we have announcements from commissioners.
I just want to take this time. Thank you, Chair, Commissioner. Two things. One, when Joyce was mentioning about the business cards, and thank you for that, Joyce. I had asked whether we could also, as commissioners, have the little lapel pin representing the commission. I don't know if there's something of that sort that is available, Renee, perhaps to look into. If it is a cost, again, and if there's no budget, perhaps we can all pitch in to do this. When you are going into a public space.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, nobody knows who you are. Yeah, and you don't want to keep saying, by the way, that I'm a commissioner. It needs to speak to itself.
Joyce did make the request, and so it's in process.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. The other thing that I had, while we were getting the update from Ali on the anti-Semitic hate incident and how the Bridges program, other things are working, for us as commissioners, we come on. I'm new on this, trying to learn on the job. It'll be nice if we have, I do not know if that is something in the bylaws or a program that we can have as commissioners, a retreat, or even cross-collaborate with other county-based commissions that are out there, if it makes sense.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
So we have done that in the past, and I very much want to do that for two reasons. One, because it's just good to do once a year, and two, it's a great onboarding process for new commissioners. I really want to wait until the bylaws are finished, because that is going to be our guiding principle. And in December of 2017, we spent 16 hours together doing this work, and then the next month, the Board of Supervisors changed the whole bylaw process. So I just want to make sure we're totally set before we do that.
Appreciate that. I didn't know. And maybe if there's something from that 2 years ago, maybe we can take a look and see how that impacts us today. The other thing is part of the training itself, because we come in, we how to address issues, or if you were to be in a public setting, whether it is dealing with this kind of incident that happened in Newport or elsewhere, as commissioners, if we can get some training that others may be having, we can get this from this, the nonprofit side or whatever.
So, excellent. Norma, who's our executive director, I don't even know if you had a chance to meet her. She has an onboarding process. She does. She's not been here for many months because of maternity, but we will reinstitute that. And Jamie, I don't know if there's a way to put something on an agenda for the summer.
Sure.
Commissioner retreat / training, I think, is something to address. Let's put it in June. Then we'll know a little bit more where we are with bylaws and things of that nature. But I just don't want to lose that. I think that is super important.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements, concerns? I'm just happy to announce that my congregation is celebrating its 50th anniversary this weekend. So big, big weekend for the synagogue. So happy to...
Yeah, you're invited for the food?
You're welcome to come. 7:30 service on Friday night. The food is always good.
Okay.
It's always good. So love to have anybody there. On Friday night, 7:30. Sherman
Friday Lodge. Night, 7:30.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure. That's it.
Any additional items for future meetings? I mean, I do have the events and then what you had said for June.
Great. Awesome. Thank you all. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Great work.